Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, happy November 26, 19. What is it? What year is this? 2018. Welcome. Sitting here looking. Well, you know, I want to clarify something here.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Thank you. Thanks. Big 6-6 today. Been partying all weekend. Anniversary was on Saturday. Went out with the family last night. Ate too much. Back at it again today. Thanks. 66. My goodness. 14 years from 80. Hard to believe. God's good. God's good. I was thinking as I was looking at the queue, you know, a lot of people tune into the show and they make a horrible assumption. I look over here right now in our what we call the queue. There's 36 people. Now, for those of you who are misguided or don't understand, there are more than 36 people watching this show. All right. This is what we call being in the queue. This means that these 36 people who are over here in the queue can at any time join the conversation. Now, some of you are listening right now, maybe on your tablet, maybe you're listening on your phone, maybe use the dial-in numbers. We're using a lot of different platforms, and that's okay. But if you ever wanted to be part of the show, you have to get in the queue. And the way you get in the queue, I guess I've never really spoken about this. You can go right there at coachdavelive.com and click on the icon says join the queue. Right? That's what they do, Jared. Join the huddle. And when you join the huddle, then your face will pop up or your phone number will pop up over here on the side. And then you're able to actively engage and be part of the show. There's Jared. And if those of you who are watching the show live, you see all these people lined up over here on this side. They are in the queue. Now, some are listening on their phone. Some have muted have no video with it. Most have muted themselves. But anytime you want to speak, you simply unmute yourself and then you can come in. So dispel two rumors. Number one, there's only 40 people watching. No. There's more than 40 people watching. And these people in the queue, it's not like they're special members. It's not like they have a membership card and they get in here. It's not like Larry's star of the show or that George or Chad, or they just get in here every morning. So if you want to join the queue, go to coachdavelive.com and click on join the huddle and you can get in there. We still haven't figured it out for sure, but we think we can get 50. Well, we've been over 50. This is like call-in radio, all right? Sometimes you're on hold. Do you ever call into a radio program and call into Rush Limbaugh? You're on hold. Well, you're over here on hold and you can come in at any time. All you have to do is unmute yourself. See, well, how do I unmute myself? Well, on every phone, there's a little icon of a microphone. It's red. And all you do is you click on that little icon and it unmutes you. And then we notice that you're unmuted and we say, hey, Craig, you want to say something? That's how I know from looking down at her. Jared, whatever. So come on in, join the queue. We're glad to have you. And our numbers are growing. And, those, as scripture says, in the multitude of many counselors, there's great wisdom. And I'm inspired every day by the things that the guys in the queue say. I see some new ones in here today. I see Matthew Marmillan. I think that's a new face. I see, hey, Lexi, how you doing? Larry, Kevin, Karen, Jody, Jennifer, Jeannie, Blake. Is that Mike maybe down there? Jim there? So a lot of normals in here. That's deplorables, whatever. But you all can join in and we'd love to have you join. So, that explains to everybody how to get in here. I think it did a pretty good job on that. We got Lowell Morris who's going to come up here probably during the last half hour of the show. During our discussion on, hey, listen, we're still going back to Panama City for the hurricane relief. We'd love to have you come. You know what I'm going to do? The Lord put on my, I hate, this sounds Christian, doesn't it? The Lord put on my heart I woke up this morning with an idea. I know somebody I'm going to invite to go with. Listen, a teenage boy. I'm going to invite a teenage boy to go with. I don't have any grandsons old enough to go, but I know somebody I think would maybe really, really benefit being with the men and all that kind of stuff. So maybe I would suggest that to some of you out there. If you got room in your car or whatever, let's take some of these young guys with us, see if we can get them to go and train them a little bit on what service is like and what it means to be a man. And that, you know, if you're going to bring a four-year-old, you're in charge of the four-year-old, okay? We ain't babysitting. Your wife said, yeah, honey, go take all four kids. Let's rethink that before we do that. But again, if you're interested in going with us, please let us know so we can make the proper arrangements to have everybody down there, okay? I see Jim Kraft's in here today. He's one that heads that whole thing up. We thank God for Jim and doing that. So, Jim, you can come in and say something if you have something to add. If you don't have anything to add, that's okay too, bud. Bring a millennial. That's what Trump says. Bring a millennial. Mark Trump, not Donald Trump. Bring a millennial. Bring some kid, some young guy that's going to benefit from being there with us. And we want him to be somewhat responsible, but I think probably anybody here is going to bring somebody that's somewhat responsible. Okay, cool. This show's going to be a little bit mixed because I just have an urgency on me to do a real quick teaching. And then Lowell, I started to say that. Sorry, Lowell. Lowell, after the show was off on Friday, we started talking about the need to be able to communicate. Those of us here right now, if the internet were to go down tomorrow, if the cell phones were to go down tomorrow, something would happen that we would lose all means of communicate. I couldn't call Chad or George or Gary. I couldn't call them. Are you kidding me? I couldn't call my daughter up there. Yeah, that happens. Well, what's going to be your means of communication? And Lowell maybe I brought it up or whatever. We start talking about ham radios and the need for ham radios and the ability. What would happen if everything went down and we still had the ability to be able to communicate? What if we did a huddle every – let's say they shut everything down and they did a huddle every morning and we did it on ham radio. Now that sounds kind of Neanderthalish, I guess. That sounds really 1960-ish, but we may have to go back to that, right? And Rob said he likes ham. It's not that kind of ham, Rob. So during the second half hour, Lowell Morrison is going to talk to us about ham radios, how they operate, what it costs to set one up. You'd be surprised. We would have a home base probably. Be surprised how inexpensively we can do that. So Jared's doing all this stuff on the screen right now. Lowell's going to talk about that here in a half hour, but I want to talk about something else if you bear with me today, okay? Been a lot going on, a lot buzzing around about us here today, and my wife, God, I love my wife. We were married 39 years on what is today? On Saturday, we had our 39th wedding anniversary. My birthday is 66. I'm 66 today. So we bunch everything together. I got a granddaughter with a birthday in 5 days and a daughter with a birthday in 6 days. And we just kind of cram them all together, you know. Holidays start around here early November, man, and they roll through it. So thank God for our family. What a blessing it is. But Michelle and I got reading together. I'm going to do two things here, okay? Two things. I'm going to make two connections here. Which one do I want to do first? Yeah, let's do Psalm 136, Jared. Psalm 136. Michelle just started, we had time. I hate to admit this. We used to get up every morning, Michelle and I, and do a Bible study, and we'd read together and pray together. And since I've started doing the program, we've kind of fallen out of that pattern a little bit. I apologize with her. But she started reading to me. That, you know, I know some people who are going through some things. We were reading Psalm 136. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I'm just going to read it so you get a flavor here, okay? Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever." You getting the theme yet? You getting the theme here yet? "To him that by wisdom made the heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And to him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 7, to him that made great lights, his mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and the firstborn. Whoa, I stopped right there when I was when Michelle and I were reading this. What? He smote Egypt and his mercy endures forever?
Whoa.
And then brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. And with a strong hand, the stretched out arm, his mercy endured forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endured forever. Made Israel to pass through it, his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings. What about the mercy for those kings, I thought of as I was reading this? His mercy endures forever. What's he doing smoting great kings? And then slew famous kings. His mercy endures forever. Sion, king of Amorites, killed him too. His mercy endures forever. And he killed Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. Gave the land for an heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Even unto Israel, because his mercy endures forever. Remember this in our lowest state. Right? All the way down through, and redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Give us food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God from heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I thought, man, something isn't making sense here. Because we sure count on mercy, don't we? In our lives, aren't we all banking on mercy? And aren't we glad we have mercy? I said, yeah, that is good, except what is mercy? So, Michelle, I took the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says this. See, mercy doesn't mean you're always going to get out of the jam you're in. That ain't what it means. Stay with me. Mercy is that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injury, or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Wow. First of all, it isn't complete forgiveness and grace. No. There may be some punishment involved, but it's better than you deserve. The disposition that tempers justice. Wow. And induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, and to forbear punishment, or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. That's mercy. When you don't get what you deserve, is mercy. In this sense, there's perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. You can't find another word like it. That which comes nearest is grace, yet it implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity, or compassion, clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. Wow. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. What? And by no means clearing the guilty. So mercy is what? If I could hack it down, mercy is getting less than you deserve. Right? So far, so good. Mercy endures forever. But then my wife said, I got her thinking, and we're thinking back and forth. And she said, what about this? She found the word hesed. H-E-S-E-D. She found it in the Greek. Was it in the Greek, honey? Was it in some concordance? Was it somewhere she found hesed? His hesed endureth forever. Hebrew, there it is. Wow. Hesed. What does it mean? What does that word mean? God is at work. It reads about hesed. So the idea goes down. I'm speeding this up a little bit. It says, idea. Hesed is a quality of life that should characterize those who know God. Hesed is not just something you get. It's a characteristic of a quality of life that should characterize those who know God. Why? The purpose is to help listeners appreciate the quality of knowing God in Ruth that can, by God's grace, characterize us. Okay, so if I ask you to describe dependability or loyalty, you might have an answer. Hang on there. Yeah. When we talk about virtues and grace in someone's life, we are quickly drawn to an example. One virtue in people that reflects God to us is the Hebrew word hesed. Is hesed endures forever? Hesed's difficult to translate. No single word in English language captures its meaning. Translators use words like kindness and loving kindness and mercy and loyalty. Perhaps loyal love is close. Hesed is one of the richest, most powerful words in the Old Testament. It reflects, watch this now, the loyal love that people committed to the God of the Bible should have for one another. It is not a mood. Hesed is not primarily something people feel. It is something people do for other people who have no claim on them. The word hesed is displayed throughout the story of Ruth, where it's usually translated kindness. But it's not just kindness. Love is something we do, not primarily something we feel. So Naomi uses the word hesed in Ruth 1:8. Naomi uses the word of Boaz to explain his lavish act of kindness in Ruth 2:20. Boaz uses the word of Ruth in Ruth 3:10. Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness, this hesed, is greater than what you have shown earlier. What happened earlier? Ruth did not forsake Naomi and gleaned her, provide her needs. It was more than kindness. Hey, it was loyalty to her mother-in-law. In proposing to Boaz, she showed her future regard for family relationships. How'd she do that? When she thought of marriage, she did not go after the young men. Hebrew means choice, whether rich or poor. There is an article with young. It is a definite group of young men. Boaz implies that she had wanted to, she could have married a wealthy younger man. All right? That would be no point in praising her faithfulness to her family if that were not true. She was willing to marry someone lower. She was willing to marry a kinsman other than Boaz if that would help Naomi. Wow. That's a deep word. Hesed. Hesed. And see, when we think of this, mercy endures forever, we think again, him being nice and kind towards us. God is so kind. His mercy. No. His relational love, hesed, continues forever. Doesn't have anything to do with getting you out of trouble. Doesn't have anything to do with giving you less than you deserve. It has to do with the relationship that you have with God. His mercy endures forever. He always is doing what is best for us. Man, is that ever, woo. Not what we want, less than what we deserve, but hesed is a relational thing. Huh? And the only way you break out of that mercy of God, that relational thing with God, the only way you break out of it is you break out of it. You are unfaithful to the covenant. God has made a covenantal relationship with you. And his mercy, that relationship endures forever. It endures forever. It ain't about not getting what you deserve or getting what you don't deserve. It ain't about anything other than that. When you are in covenantal relationship with God, he always has your best interests at heart. Is that unbelievable? That is unbelievable. But see, he only has your best interests in heart as it relates to your relationship with him. When your relationship with God gets selfish, you're outside of hesed. You're outside of it. You've broken that covenant. Right? So I just thought, to me, that was a great, great epiphany to understand that the Lord is so daggone loyal, not only to him, but to his word and his covenantal relationship endures forever. Somebody come on in here. Did anybody get a revelation out of that other than me?
Well, I had some kind of revelation earlier this weekend, Coach. I've been watching To Catch a Predator. And one thing I've realized is how these guys don't, they're not afforded any mercy whatsoever. When they walk into the apartment, the house, as soon as they walk in, they are done. There's no mercy afforded to those people whatsoever. Not one bit.
Right. But Vinny, that's not the kind of mercy we're talking about, right? See, understand, we better understand this. God's mercy is justice.
Amen.
Can I tell you why? His mercy is justice because there's someone else involved with it.
Exactly.
When you do it wrong, you've violated somebody else, and his mercy endures forever to that person as well. That's why justice is so important to God, right? Ain't nobody better than anybody else. That's why the Clintons have to go down. Hesed.
Now, what I wanted to do is that's exactly what I wanted to bring in is how come those guys are afforded mercy, those people. Because
it's a misunderstanding of Christianity, first and foremost.
Amen, brother.
A misunderstanding of that. Well, do I have time to go to this next one? I'm gonna do it real quickly because they connect. Okay, they connect. Jared, go to this Lou Rockwell. This thing from Bionic Mosquito. These two connect. Okay, folks. In my mind, they do. Maybe they don't. Yours. I'm gonna try to bring you along. Did anybody else want to say anything there before I? This is the same thing. This has to do with Hesed. It's the same thing. But I'm going to move here. Jump in here if you want to. I don't want you to eat your thoughts. Okay, Jared, go ahead and bring up that Bionic Mosquito. This I read this yesterday, too. And I read it out loud to my wife. That's what led this. I read this out loud to my wife. And this is what led to Psalm 136, is mercy enduring forever. This is on Lou Rockwell. I don't know if you guys ever go to Lou Rockwell. I check LouRockwell.com every morning. And the idea is this, is continuing on my journey, the necessity of Christian cultural. Wow. Jared, can you slide that over a little bit? I'm going to read down through this thing very, very quickly. okay. See, the way, continuing on my journey. Talking about this book that he read about in God in Public, how the Bible speaks truth to power today. I'm going to have to move this out of my way in a second. There we go. Continuing on my journey, the necessity of Christian cultural foundations, if liberty is the objective. If we're after liberty, this is what the writer, Bionic Mosquito. There's much in Wright's work on this topic regarding theology, as you know. I try not to bring it into discussion. I look at Christianity as it was foundational to the liberties present in Western civilization and absent virtually everywhere else. To me, that was a mic drop moment. You will find liberty only where there is Christianity. You will never find liberty outside of Christianity. Name a nation where that is not Christian where there's liberty. I'm not going to argue right now. That's the point he's making. So he says, I look at the church or churches in our fracture. There is an institutionally both large enough and with the right message. Well, the right message, if they would actually utilize the gospels instead of the state worshiping talking points. It is with this in mind that I work through Wright's essay. Wright suggests that Christians who look for a future glory are missing their calling today. This is because they misunderstand the meaning of the resurrection. My concern here is not a theological interpretation of the resurrection. My concern is liberty. Therefore, the call for Christian leaders to act today in this world, liberty. Not Christianity, not salvation, liberty. So he uses a quote from Wright. God's life-giving power is unleashed in the works of justice. God's life-giving power is unleashed in justice and mercy and healing and beauty and hope already in the present. The Gnostic, like the fundamentalists, can never understand why we Christians are called to work for justice and health in this present world. But with the resurrection, there is no question. Of course we are, right? I can't say much about the Gnostics regarding the fundamentalists. After the resurrection, Jesus sent his disciples out into the world. He did not call them to pray for the rapture or against Armageddon. Then he didn't urge them for unconditional support of Israel or cheer on perpetual war in the Middle East. Jesus didn't turn Sunday into a day of state worshiping and warmongering. Yet this describes many fundamentalist theologies. Yes, sir. As if Jesus was kidding when he said, you shall know them by their fruit. And that is the basis, too, of the Christian challenge of the empire to the arrogance, which assumes that we, whoever we are, it was the British 100 years ago, it's Americans today, it will be somebody else in the future. We innately possess justice, freedom, and speech and have the right to bestow them on others by force if necessary. The thing about empires is that ultimately they rule by the power of fear, whose death is in, right? He said, liberty isn't just something that happens. Liberty's a Christian ideal. The one thing he is speaking from a non-Christian perspective here. Please understand this. The one thing I'm not sure of, the fundamentalists in America love empire because they get to cheer on their home team. Yay, America, grow America, yay, yay, yay. When it is someone else suggested by right, it will be interesting to watch how things play out on Sunday. So in other words, the church is happy that the Republicans are in charge because everything's gone good, but the church isn't happy when the Democrats are in charge because the Democrats are taking away their liberty, right? Following the thought here? One thing I'm not sure of, the fundamentalists of America love empire because they get to cheer for the home team. I'm sorry. It is here where Wright introduces analysis and critique of postmodernism and the deconstruction of every grand narrative. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of the grandest of grand narratives in the West. It is both the history of the West and the tradition of the West. And there's no such thing as Western civilization without the resurrection specifically and Christianity generally as a foundational part of the story. Making a connection here. Making a connection of why Christianity must be enforced even for non-Christians. So if your objective is to destroy Western civilization, Western culture and tradition, and there should be no doubt that's what's going on, and your method is deconstruction, what is it that you go after? So you want to destroy Christianity, what do? Well, Wright offers these snapshots of proper living for Christians in the world, and at this time, examples then, that as stand in the face of an empire. For the first, he writes of a local church in Teesside assisting refugees seeking asylum. A very Christian endeavor, keeping in mind that Christians are called to do voluntarily and not lean on the state. I've written before, one can certainly find other reasons to assist refugees. Just don't lean on that nap for justification. The gospel message is one such reason. Go on. Second is an advertisement placed by the Salvation Army. And the issue of the new statements referenced in my previous post, the advertisement from the Salvation Army said, belief in action. The Salvation Army is, the Salt and Light Brigade is belief in action. Not belief in action. We believe in action. But the Salt and Light Brigade is action showing what you believe. Belief in action. Okay? That page offered a far more powerful statement of God in public than any of the articles in the official feature, which was supposed to be dealing with this subject. Third, what are the debating chambers, Parliament, Congress of the United States, United Nations? Wright suggests that the major ethical and public political issues are debated daily with little or no impact from those who can properly speak the gospel message. The church has pulled completely back from any debate governmentally. Global debt, ecological crisis, the new poverty in its own glossy Western society, the working and meaning of democracy itself, issues of gender and sex and stem cell research and euthanasia, and not the least multiple complex questions of the Middle East. Oh, and free speech too. My point isn't to debate the list. Wright offers that these issues are addressed without a voice grounded properly in the gospel. There's no gospel message in today's politics. And as long as these debates are carried out in terms of fundamentalism on the one hand and secularism on the other, there will never be anything other than a shouting match. If it's just against, if our civilization is built on what? Christianity arguing with secularism. Ain't nobody ever going to win that. In a nutshell, there you have the politics of the West. certainly in the United States. And of course, not all people would frame it that this way, but perhaps Wright offers a proper view of it. Here's what he goes on. Okay, let's, I didn't know this was going to take this long. I'm sorry. Wright suggests that we may even have reached the point where the Enlightenment team has begun to eat its own tail, with its emphasis on reason, ungrounded reason, as a method by which all problems can be solved. All we have is everyone convinced that their own reason is the only correct reason. So how do we judge? How do we judge if there is no judge? Why? By our own ungrounded reason, of course. Wright suggests that we need wise Christian voices, voices both humble and clear. And I completely agree. In the meantime, I suggest that we have Jordan Peterson. When he says it'll take 3 more years to figure out if he believes, Jordan Peterson's not sure he believes the resurrection. But here, watch the follow this. He certainly has been doing the work of reckoning with God in public. Jordan Peterson's brought the idea of God into the public. But he isn't a Christian, say the Christian apologists. Well, yeah, but Jesus has already dealt with that, didn't he? Didn't he say, teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. We told him to stop because he's not one of us. Jesus said, don't stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. 40, for whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah, you aren't certainly going to lose your reward. He said, you want to be one of us to do it? You have to be one of us to do something nice? You see, the left is crushing Jordan Peterson, at least trying to. The reasons are easy to understand. There's no universal political order without crushing culture and tradition. And the one universal order that has stood in the way is what? Christianity. But many fundamentalist Christian leaders are also after him. Specifically, it is because he doesn't believe in the resurrection. Well, perhaps the reality is that Peterson is an indictment of that failure. Given the certain quality of many of today's Christian leaders, Jesus also had an answer here. He said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles? And then he's going to look at them and say, sorry, dudes, never knew you. What's the conclusion? The rulers of this age need to be called to account. I would say calling today's rulers to account is about as important a task that there is if we are ever to move toward liberty. Whatever Jordan Peterson doing, he is one man. There's no institution behind him. The only institution, if you can call it that, with both the reach and the message that is capable of calling today's rulers to account are Christian leaders. And here, only if they return to the message of the gospel. Here's the point from the bionic mosquito, and then I'm going to shut up and turn it over to Lowell. You don't have to be a Christian to see the importance of Christian values. And we have to return to Christian values as the underpinning of our nation. You don't have to be a Christian to follow them, but this is how Christians live. This is a Christian society. Be a heathen if you want to, but these are the rules. And the only way that can change is if Christian men stand up and begin to push back. By the way, I believe that to be the Salt and Light Brigade. All right, sorry for that monologue. Anybody quickly jump in.
Coach, before you go to Lowell, let me just mention that one thing, that whole thing about the catch a predator, one thing figured out, it's Jezebels and cherry popping daddies. That's where the problem breaks down in our society. It's loose girls who are taught bad morals, and then these men who then can't find decent women have now decided they're going to destroy the rest of society by ruining the virtue of all the other women who are left.
But Vinny, it's only happening because we say there's no punishment.
Exactly.
You go rape some 15-year-old girl, you're going to die, dude. There's none of that anymore. That's a Christian virtue.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, a real quick extrapolation from what you just went over. there's so many in those groups, those buildings out there, calling themselves churches. They're sitting waiting for God to take care of it. Oh, don't worry. God's in control. He's going to handle it. I'd like those people to know that God uses his obedient children to do his activities.
His mercy endureth forever. What is his mercy again? Essen, right? Huh? That loyal relationship that he's always doing what's best for all of you. And the problem we have in America is our Christian leaders have welcomed government in as head of the country rather than the values of Christianity. This, folks, this is deeper than you even understand. And I'm sorry to hurry through it. Maybe we'll touch on it again tomorrow. It's to me, the revelation that I'm getting from this is so I can't tell you how deep this thing is. Right? Right? See, you don't have to be a Christian to follow Christian values. That's the whole point they're making. You don't have to be a Christian to be nice to people. You don't have to be a Christian to not steal. You don't have to be a Christian to believe marriage is between a man and a woman. You don't have to be a Christian to believe abortion is wrong. But we have to have a set of right and wrong, a set of rules and regulations. And it has always been Christianity. That's where Western civilization came from. Okay, here we go. Lowell Morrison.
Howdy.
Go ahead, Lowell.
Okay, well, we're going from George Whitefield and the Great Enlightenment to Bill Nye, the Science Guy here. So it's kind of a tough act to follow.
Who, by the way, Bill Nye ain't even really a scientist, is he? I mean,
he's a godless heathen.
He's a godless heathen.
That's but right. He's well-branded. Yeah. Let's do this.
He's the guys that are breaking all this stuff down that we're talking about here.
Yes. Well, let's do this quick because what I'm providing you with is the process to become licensed. I'm going to leave it up to Coach or Mark Trump or Vincent to tell you why you should invest in amateur radio and become skilled in its use. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. Okay. Now, amateur radio is also called ham radio. You're going to hear lots of lingo, lots of terms, and it's probably one of the most geekish hobbies that I have.
I believe
because it. It's inherited by, it's a nerd paradise, guys.
Yeah, I believe
it's
that.
It's full of crazy professor types, and it's full of hardware uber geeks, okay?
But if all hell breaks loose, we'll be glad we'll be connected, won't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys fill a role. Okay, I mean, this definitely fills a role. This is communication. Okay, that's one of the things that separates us from the animals. You know, and today we live in the information age, and history's shown for 5,000 years, whoever controls the information controls the age. Okay, so let's just look at the techniques of ham radio. I'm going to give you four things this morning. I'm going to give you an overview of ham radio prepared by the Tin Hat Ranch, which you will see what the Tin Hat Ranch is later on real fast. Second thing is I'm going to show you how to get licensed, and that is the key. Okay, studying for your license explains all of this stuff, all the lingo, all the terminology, how it works, how it fits together. Okay, and there is no substitute for using it and getting comfortable with it. It's not something you buy and put on a shelf and trot out when you need it. You have to know how to do it. It's like learning to fly a plane, learning to shoot a rifle. It's something that you need to practice ahead of time. Then if we have time, we may look at some equipment. But the fourth thing and final thing that I'm going to compel you to do is to order a study manual and start studying it.
Okay. Jared, is this stuff up on the screen that Lowell's reading off of? Go ahead, Lowell.
Okay. So, Jared, let's take a look at the Excel file, the spectrum tab, the chart that says electromagnetic spectrum at the top. Okay, is there one up above that? A chart up above that on that? There we go. Okay, so guys, this will be posted on the website so you can download this file. This file has all the links, all these pictures, all this explanation. Okay, so I just wanted to throw this up here so that everybody can see what the electromagnetic spectrum is because radio is a part of that. And you can 5G. See by the little blue...
5G, right? All that, yep.
Yep. So you can see by the little blue bubbles below, a lot of other words that are bandied about today are also a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Microwave, infrared, visible light, what we see is a part of that spectrum. And you can see we see light at a much higher frequency than what radio operates. Okay, and it goes all the way from radio being the longest wave lowest power up to gamma ray, which is the most powerful end of the electronic magnetic spectrum. Okay, so you can see here, this explains well, you know, what a wavelength is. And that's how they categorize these types of spectrums. Okay, it's how long the wave is. Because how long that wave is, it determines what that part of the spectrum can be used for. So low waves, long waves, you know, the size of buildings, 100 meters long, 80 meters long, down to 2 meters long, a meter being 3 foot. So some of these energy waves are 240 feet long, okay? Some of them are longer than that. Some of them are 600 feet long. What we'll deal with amateur radio is somewhere in the area of 2 meters, 6 feet long, the size of a human. And you can see there that they've even got little bees and people lined out there, so you can see how, you know, short the waves are. Okay. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because they keep flipping back and forth as you use amateur radio between frequencies and wavelengths and megahertz and all that other types of things. There's no short way to understand this. That's why getting that manual and reading it, okay, and it falls together pretty quick, okay? But waves, wavelength, and frequencies are directly related, okay? A wavelength is measured in length of distance from peak to peak of the wave, okay? That's why they talk about 2 meter band and 10 meter band, because the length is 10 meters long or 2 meters long. Frequency is measured in megahertz. Now, megahertz is a fancy Latin term for million cycles, okay? And a hertz is a second. So when you see something that's 144, you know, million megahertz, well, that's 144 cycles per second. And that's a measure of energy, okay? So I'm not going to get into the details of this because we need to get into these videos so that we can have something to talk about. So if, Jared, if you can call up on the links tab, the very first video, which is line item one.
Hey, Lowell, let me stop you there.
Overview ham radio. Okay.
Let me stop you real quick, Lowell, because remember, I'm, as a teacher, some people need the end of the story. And I've already had a text, a couple other things. How much money are you looking at? That's the first question people want to know right away, Lowell, before they can even concentrate on, is this something I want to do? What's this going to cost?
There's two ways. There's two categories to break ham radio down to. There's shortwave communication, which you can get into it, quality, $150. Okay, that is going to enable you to talk to somebody 10 to 25 miles away.
For $150, they can get a system set up and going.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you want to talk to somebody in Zimbabwe, literally, in Australia, or Russia, or Texas, or some other remote area, Wisconsin, Virginia, Carolina, it'll cost you about $1,000. Okay, and that's cool. We're going to see.
All right.
So $150 to $1,000. $1,000, you can talk to anybody in the world with nobody's permission.
Mm. Okay.
That's the power of this stuff.
All right.
Okay. Jared, pull the trigger on that puppy.
Why do we need ham or amateur radio? It's a question that I know many of you ponder, and the answer is quite simple. Ham radio allows for local and planet-wide communications when all other forms of communications fail. Today's world is connected by complex forms of communications, namely cellular communications and the internet. These forms of communication are very easy to use, but rely on massive infrastructure between two individuals communicating. If one cog in that wheel breaks, the whole thing can come crashing down. Conversely, amateur radio relies only on the two parties involved, the electronic epitome of individual responsibility. Just a few things are needed on either end: power, a radio, an antenna, and depending on the mode of communications, maybe a few accessories. In this series, we will show you how ham radio, and frankly, the entire radio spectrum, can be an indispensable tool in emergencies large and small. The radio spectrum is huge. You can think of it as millions of channels to which you can tune into. To learn all about what is available to you is a lifelong endeavor, but learning just a few basics is rather simple. So that's where I'll start. There are two basic types of communication in the ham universe, communicating short range and worldwide communications. In ham speak, I'm referring to VHF and HF communications, or very high frequency and high frequency. Being new to amateur radio, you may have no idea what this means. So let's talk about it with some examples, starting with short-range communications. Let's say that you need to keep in contact with friends, family members, or even local emergency responders. You are going to need to use a certain portion of the radio spectrum that is conducive to local communications, a portion of that spectrum that offers clarity and reliability and possibly extreme portability. A proven solution to local communications has always been the very high frequency portion of the spectrum, or VHF. VHF is chosen by police, fire, air traffic, dispatching, FM radio, TV, and businesses. And there's a nice section of the band that's carved out for you and I as well. The term VHF refers to the frequency. In the case of VHF, that is 30 to 300 megahertz. As amateur radio operators, our little slice of the pie is right in the middle from 144 to 148 megahertz. But being new to ham radio, that probably means nothing to you. So let's show you how it works in the real world. This is a prepper's favorite, the Bofang UV-5R. This little $30 radio and a $15 test is all it takes for you to get started in ham radio, but more on that later. For now, there's a link below to our article on how to get your ham license in 7 days. What can you do with this radio? Well, in its most basic method of communication, say one Bofang to another, or simplex communication as it's termed, you basically have two low-powered radios with small antenna. How well this radio works is dependent on the laws of physics and is directly tied to the characteristics of VHF frequencies. While VHF is mostly unaffected by atmospheric noise, giving you clear and reliable communications, it is restricted to line-of-sight communications. Simply put, line-of-sight communications means things like mountains, hills, large buildings, and most importantly, the Earth itself can disrupt the signal. Let's take an example of two people standing on relatively level ground. Because of the curvature of the Earth, there is a limited distance that these two can have line of sight before the Earth itself gets in the way. In the case of these two radios, the antennas are, say, 6 feet above the ground. The distance to where the Earth starts blocking the signal due to the curvature is 3 miles. This is called the radio horizon. For the other individual, the distance is also 3 miles. Added together, two people with Bofangs can theoretically talk to each other from 6 miles apart. In reality, if you have trees, buildings, small hills, or other terrain, you are probably going to be limited to just a mile or two. While a mile or two is more than enough to talk to your own property and to your own neighborhood, what do we do to extend this coverage, yet still use these convenient handheld radios? Dotting the landscape around the world are repeaters. What do they do? Exactly what their name implies. They take the signal that you transmit, receive it, then repeat it. Generally speaking, these repeaters are publicly available to licensed ham operators and are run mostly by preparedness-minded individuals. Lots of these repeaters operate on backup power for use in emergencies, and some are perpetually powered by the likes of solar and other renewable forms of backup. These repeaters are most often located in ideal locations, that is, high up in the air. The higher the antenna, the further the radio horizon. Combined with the fact that the antennas themselves are really efficient, they can help the range of your handheld radio go from a few miles to 50 miles or more. There's a third option for the preparedness-minded individual, and that is to set up your own repeater. Mobile radios such as my Kenwood TM-V71A have a feature called cross-band repeat. In normal operation, these types of radios operate just the same as your handheld, but you can permanently install a bigger antenna much higher up in the air. The radios also have more power, and you can choose to back up that power with a system that you control. Check out the links below on our solar series for more on that one. The function of crossband repeat allows them to receive on one band and simultaneously transmit on another, effectively creating your own repeater. In a future video, we will show you exactly how to do this. But for now, there are some links below to radios that can do this. Now, keep in mind, the performance of this system is dependent on your antenna, its height, the terrain around your location, and so on. But it should greatly enhance the range of a communication system that you own and control. Lastly, we'll talk about HF communications, or high frequency. This is the type of communication an outsider to amateur radio might picture. HF communications allows you to talk to the world. HF consists of different frequencies compared to VHF, between 3 and 30 megahertz, and these frequencies have different characteristics. For example, some of your signal when you key up on the Bofang actually radiates directly out into outer space. HF is different. The radio waves actually bounce off the ionosphere, called skip propagation, allowing for communications that are not limited to line of sight. This skip can allow interstate to intercontinental communications. There's many reasons for this, and it's way outside the scope of this video, but communicating with the states around you can be relatively reliable, and depending on the conditions of the bands, you can talk to the world. With my modest setup, it's more of like firing a signal out there, bouncing off the ionosphere, and wherever it lands, it lands. I'm right here in the Great Lakes, and I've talked to both coasts, Europe, South America, and listened to the world. The most important fact you have to remember about all of this is there's nothing that exists between your radio and theirs. No infrastructure to rely on. You control it, and nobody can shut you up. HF radio will be the de facto mode of communications in a regional, national, or worldwide disaster. The downside to HF is the equipment can be quite expensive. While I would expect each and every one of you to get licensed, have a radio like the Bofang, and know how to use it, HF radio takes a little more knowledge, a general license, and a bit more equipment. If considering new, the cost of entry to the HF world is going to be around $1,000. This is my ICOM IC7200, in multicam, of course. It's not the absolute least expensive HF radio, but for what it does, it's one of the best deals. With an HF rig, in addition to the radio, you'll need a power supply, antenna, and antenna tuner. Also, the antenna might not be what you picture in your mind as an antenna. The most popular type of HF antenna is the dipole, basically two pieces of wire that are spread horizontally as opposed to vertically. This requires you to have some real estate and a place to hang the antenna. Just like in our solar series, I tend to pick a vendor to work on with complicated systems. In the case of amateur radio, I like to work with Gigaparts. They've got a very knowledgeable staff of licensed enthusiasts, a huge inventory, and the best prices in the industry. My plan with this series is to give you specific examples of all the modes of communications that we just mentioned, so you can follow along. Check out Gigaparts in the links below. Communications are one way the prepper can utilize the radio spectrum. But stay tuned, as our series on radio is about to blow your mind. If you
Okay, well, I think that was pretty much it. Okay, so lots of confusion there, lots of information. If you've not been exposed to ham radio at the start, you're not going to understand half of what that is there. So the reason I'm sharing that with you is, one, the link is going to be available so that you can review it time again and time again, but it is to prove one point. You need to buy a manual to get a technician's license, which is what we're going to talk about next, which I think we'll just do verbally because the next video is about 6 or 7 minutes and let's spend that in conversation. Mm-hmm. So there's a series of licenses that you acquire from the FCC that give you permission to utilize these radio bands. Now, that's important because you pick up all the lingo, you pick up the physics, you pick up the terminology, and you are learning by doing. Okay, now it might sound intimidating, a test. The first level test is a technician test. The full bore test, which is the next one up, is called the general license. A technician's test and the general test, like any government test, guys, is stone simple. Okay, you get all of the questions and answers in advance. They have a pool of 500 questions and answers. So you're able to review all of those questions and answers as many times as you like before you sit for the test. And the test is a random selection of 35 of those 500 question pool. And you only have to get 70% of those accurate to get your license.
Okay, let me dive in here, Lou. Let me dive in here. So yep. Guys are asking themselves, okay, I gotta get a license, but it's easy to get a license and I can get into this thing for 150, 200 bucks. I can get a system up and running, get a license. Okay. So what if I do, Lowell? Then what?
Well, let's look at the end objective. The end objective of this is to have one person within Texas, within Oklahoma, within Wisconsin, that are Salt and Light Brigade members down in Virginia or South Carolina. Larry, I guess, is already getting the technician license. So you get our groups to have one guy, at least, that has the bigger set, the $1,000 set. Okay, then we can talk to each other regardless of what happens in the future.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Because I don't want to spend all my time just breaker 19, what's it like over there? And I don't want to be doing that, although right. I can, right? But if, folks, if the internet goes down, we don't have this, right? Our phones, we don't have the phone. This is a fail-safe in case we get into those type of times.
So yeah. one guy in each huddle, just let me finish this so I can draw the picture. One guy in each huddle needs to be a general licensee with a full set of what's called 100 meter equipment. So that investment's going to be about $1,000 to $1,100. So one guy, and he in turn can be your radio geek. Okay. Then each adult member of your family that's in that huddle should have one of the, the 2 meter band units, the shorter range units.
I got a question from Richard. Say, so I get the system set up and I want to communicate with my daughter 2 miles away. What does she have to have?
She has to have a radio as well.
Does she have to have a license?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody that operates a piece of equipment in a non-emergency environment has to have that license. The license costs $15.
$15. Okay.
Lowell, you said a key word here that some may consider. It's not prescribed to use ham unlicensed, but during an emergency, if there were available radios in their possession, they could use those during an emergency, correct, Lowell?
Correct.
And you don't have to buy the manual. There's a very good manual online that comes in a whatever kind of file it is, and 42 pages printed off, and it's very easy to understand.
Mm-hmm. So we got about 3 minutes. What I'd like us to do is to post this Excel file someplace that it can be downloaded by everybody that's hearing my voice, because it gives you links that, one, to repeat that overview to another video by Tin Hat Ranch on licensing, the study guides that Larry just mentioned that are free. It has links to that. It's got links to find final exam sessions. It's got links to find a local club, okay, that you can start to participate with locally, your first guy that's learning how to do this thing. And there's even links where you can look up ham users by zip code, which is a powerful thing if you're wanting to add people to your local huddle. And there's a link to the ham branch.
And if you want to talk to Lowell, you say, Coach, connect me to Lowell, and I'll connect you with Lowell. Some people are really turned on by this. Some people don't get it. Those of you who get it, who are turned on by it, and then you want to connect to Lowell, say, Coach, connect me to Lowell. I want to do this. I see a great need for it.
Let me just say this. If you want to know how desperately you're going to want this at some point, leave your cell phone at home. Don't listen to any radio. Watch no TV while you're out for a day. And don't read up radio. And just ask people you bump into what's happening. Okay. But now the trouble is they also have access to all that information that won't be there. Better thing is walk next door and ask your neighbor what's happening. Okay. Or ask an Amishman what's happening. That's the key. Okay. Nobody's going to know anything with the exception of ham radio operators.
Boy, I see that for sure, Lowell. I see it for sure. As I said late last week as we got into this, that's what I see happening with YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. As the heat's turned up, those platforms are going to go down. I'm banned on Facebook right now for simply having a radio program. When they make the decision to ban Facebook, pull down YouTube, Snapchat, whatever, to pull them down, how are you going to communicate? If you see it as a concern, then Lowell Morrison is the guy that we need to talk to. Lowell, all these things are in the chat. And Jared, you'll post them someplace on our website as well. We're gonna have to give more time to this, Lowell. I kind of went over this morning and chewed up a lot of your time, and we can do a little bit more on this tomorrow. I think it's crucial.
Yeah. And just one final thing is, as I said yesterday or Friday, I'm gonna scholarship a complete worldwide set to the Salt and Light $1 million studio up there, and one way or another, either through Coach or through some local volunteer ready to operate it, we'll have that as the anchor. Then you guys have somebody to connect into, and we'll start broadcasting the huddle on shortwave so that you'll be able to tune into it on your $1,000 set.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe we'll do a Saturday night show on the shortwave just to show that it works and everybody understand how it works. Right?
I mean, until the 1950s, this is how the world communicated for the first 50 years. You've heard of BBC.
Breaker 19.
From live from London to every ship at sea.
Okay, Breaker 19. Did you see the seat covers on that baby that just went by? Hey, God bless you, folks. We got to run. To be prepared, what's Chad say? Be aware and be aware or something like that. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.